Over the past couple of months, we've been involved in a series of messages, questions that we ask and answers that God's Word gives to us. And as I draw this series to a conclusion this morning, I'm going to ask and from the Bible try to answer the question I suppose that I get most often. Pastor, my son has left home. I lost my job. There's trouble on the home front. The doctor says, and here's the question, what do I do now? I don't know what to do. When 2 + 2 just doesn't seem to equal 4, when things just don't make sense, when you've poured out your heart and you feel broken and unusable and unable, what do you do then? When you feel like you've blown it, when you've failed and you've fallen and everything seems fractured, and it doesn't feel like it can get fixed, what do you do then? The text is rather lengthy because the best part of any sermon is the reading of the text. Romans chapter 8 has answers for lots of life's questions. And so let me begin in verse 11 and read through the remaining part of the chapter. And as I do so, I want you to notice the following. God has a purpose. And in order to fulfill that purpose, God has a plan. And so that I can patiently and prayerfully wait on the purpose of God to come to pass in my life, God has made promises. So God has a purpose. His plan is so perfect that it's going to come together. And he's given me great and precious promises so that I can wait on the Lord. Look for that. Verse 11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth unto now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestinated, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those who He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that an awesome passage? Give Him praise. Thank you, Lord, for your great promises to us. Well, let's begin with this. God has a purpose for the life of every believer. He has left no one out. That means you. God has a purpose for your life, so that when your plans, the things you hoped for, the things you long to see, don't always come to pass, don't throw in the towel, don't quit, don't give up. God has a purpose for your life. And in the passage that I have read, and we'll need to move quickly, Romans chapter 8 is a series, not a sermon. And for us to cover what needs to be covered this morning, I'll just touch on a verse here and there. But in your life, God wants you to know three things about His purpose. First of all, He really does want you to understand what eternal life is. So many people are confused about that. It's not just the joining of a church, the walking of a church aisle, the shaking of a pastor's hand, putting your name on a piece of paper and getting your name recorded in a church roll book. It's not just going in and through the baptismal waters and saying, now I must be a Christian because my sins were washed away. All of that confuses religion these days. But if you've ever truly been born of the Spirit of God, you know what salvation is. It's the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, quickening your mortal body so that you are alive forevermore. And if I could just put that in some straight street language. So when you blow it in the here and now, it's no big deal, because you've got eternal life in Christ Jesus. You'll have all of eternity to make up for the blunders and the failures that happen in this life. And I don't think that's a license to do what you want to do, but it's a certainty that we who are in the flesh won't get it perfect. And when we fail to do the right thing, there's always going to be the Spirit of God in us that quickens us and gives us the realization we're going to live forever in the presence of the Lord. Tie that together with this. He wants us to know that we're not alone. What great music we had this morning, reminding that He covers us, and that last special song that reminded us that in Jesus Christ we're never alone. He wants us to understand eternal life, that the Spirit of the living God lives in us and has quickened us, which is a constant reminder that even if everybody else turns and walks away, you're not alone. Even if family and friends turn and walk away, you are never alone as a believer. Christ lives in you. He walks with you. He's all about you. He undergirds you. He stands beside you. He's Lord over you. Jesus will never leave you and never forsake you. And so, when you think you have blown it, you can look around, and if others may think the same and walk away, you know what Christ says? I'm here to stay. You don't have to face this by yourself. I'm your Lord. Look to me. Trust me. Walk in obedience before me. And there's a third truth about the purpose of God, and that is this. I'm not always going to be in this flesh. I won't always be where I can fail or fall or falter. I won't always be where I can blow it and be bewildered and frustrated about what comes next. One of these days, I won't have to ask the question, what now? What do I do here? Because this passage talks about the redemption of our bodies. It talks about a time when this robe of flesh we drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize. Like a baby inside mom's womb, when 9 months comes around, there's kicking and a readiness to come out and see the world. This passage says we who know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior are starting to kick. We're ready to come out and see the world that is yet to come. We're ready to be saved not only from the penalty of sin and the power of sin, but from the very presence of sin. We're ready to be caught up to be with Jesus in the air so that this world is not our home, and we're passing through to a place prepared for a purchased people by a perfect Savior on the other side. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? God has a purpose for your life. You need to know eternal life. You need to know you're never alone. And you need to know this isn't all there is to it. There's coming a redemptive body and a glorified day when we're in the presence of the Lord. Now, that's the purpose of God. Alongside the purpose of God comes the plan of God. God has a purpose, but God does not leave His purpose to accident. God leaves His purpose to providence. That is, the working of God guarantees the purpose of God. Here's His plan. First of all, He says, I want you to know that I have sent the Holy Spirit to help you in every area of your life. And that one area where you and I are the weakest, according to our text, is the area of prayer, where we really get through and talk to God on a personal basis. We don't know how to pray as we ought to, Romans 8 says. And so the Spirit makes groanings or intercessions for us with a language that's too deep for even us to understand. I begin to pray, and I am so confused, and I say, Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix this. I don't know. This is broken. What do I do at this point? And He says, relax. Get quiet. Wait on me. Don't panic. Put the towel down. You don't need to throw it in. Sit there and meditate. And remember, I am omnipotent. Remember, I am everywhere. Remember, I am omniscient. I know it all. And remember, I am faithful. I have never left you alone. And I have sent my Holy Spirit. He doesn't just live by you. He lives in you. And because the Spirit indwells in you and you are touched by the Holy Spirit, you have the weapon of prayer to face the future. My purpose is going to become known to you as you pray to me. Now listen to this. He said, not only am I going to help you during times of prayer, but he said, I'm going to toughen you up by the trials of life. I've left you this. Everything that happens in your life as a believer is going to be for my glory and for your good. Let me see if we can recall an Old Testament event. David was just a teenage boy. He had the mediocre task of keeping sheep for his father Jesse. Not much ever went on there, except now and then a bear or a lion would try to get through to get one of the little lambs. David gives his testimony as a teenager, and he said, one time a bear tried to come in, steal one of the little lambs from the flock. He said, I put a stone in my slingshot. God helped me to take good aim, and I struck that bear, and I killed him. He said, oh, and there was another time. A lion came into the camp, and that lion had the same idea as the bear. He just hadn't heard what happened to the bear, and so he proceeded. And as he proceeded, I put a stone in my slingshot, and God helped me to take good aim, and I killed the lion. And now, today, I stand here and face the biggest obstacle I've ever faced. Now, I face the biggest problem I've ever had. Now, I stand against a warrior that lacks 2 inches being as tall as a regulation basketball goal. No, he didn't say it just like that. He said he's big. But that's the size of Goliath. The biggest thing David had ever faced. And David said, the same God who helped me kill the bear and the same God who helped me kill the lion, he will deliver this giant into my hands because the battle is the Lord's. That's what you've got to know. That's what you've got to sense. Deep in your soul, you've got to know that he has not left you alone. You've got prayer as a tool. You have prayer as a weapon. And the trials of life, they're just going to toughen you so that after you get through with the bear and the lion, Goliath is not going to be a problem. You'll face it in the same energy and under the same anointing that you have faced the other issues of life, knowing it's not yours to win. The battle is the Lord's, and your God is a faithful God. Well, he says one more thing. We've just got to get this. Here's my plan. My purpose is I want you to know what eternal life is. I want you to recognize you're not by yourself in this world. I want you to remember that this life is not all there is to it. You're headed for a redeemed body. And to make that happen, I'm bringing along prayer, and I'm bringing along toughening you up through the trials of life, and I'm also doing this. I'm teaching you about me through my word. Let's just take our Bibles. I hope you brought yours with you today, and look at the 30th verse. And those whom he predestined, that's past tense, ED, he also called. That's past tense, ED. Those whom he called, past tense. He also justified. That's past tense, ED. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. And that's past tense, ED. Now, I don't have any problem with the first two. He foreknew me. I was predestined to be one of his sons. I am. I've trusted Jesus. That's past tense. I'm justified. I didn't really deserve that. I don't quite understand that. But when he called me, past tense, he justified me. He said, I'm going to cover you in the blood of the Lamb. Here's the one that I wonder about. Why does it not say, and you who were predestined and you were called and you were justified, I will glorify you. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the mind of God, that is already a done deal. I am already glorified in the mind of Almighty God. That's why in a few moments I'm going to shout when it says, don't worry, nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Because in God's eyes, in God's mind, in God's kingdom, I'm already covered in His blood and raised to walk in newness of life before Him. So watch this. Here is His plan, and here is His purpose, and He brings them inseparably together so that the one produces the other, and the one produces the other. His purpose is to do good by me and glorify Himself, and His plan is to make all that come to pass in Jesus Christ the Lord. Well, that's good theology. And pretty good preaching. But it wouldn't be worth a plug nickel to me in the here and now if it were not for the promises. So let's get down to where we live. He promised me that when I am suffering, all I have to do is think of what shall be, and my suffering will be temporary and lightweight compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us someday. Can you imagine that? Oh, but Pastor, I've got cancer. I know. Pastor, my kids. Yeah, I know. Pastor, my home, my job. I know. Life is difficult. I know. But if I could have Lady Justice stand before us this morning, and every one of us could pile all of our hurts and brokenness on this side, and just one drop of glory could fall on this side, it would so outweigh what all of us are experiencing that we'd rise to our feet and we'd call Him blessed and we'd glorify Him and we'd say, Hosanna, who's He who comes in the name of the Lord, for He brings healing in His wings. He does. Hallelujah to His name. He does. He offers us glory in the place of suffering when we all get home. And then this second promise He says is this. When you pray, I will answer. Wait, Pastor, I remember what you said last week. I hope you do. I do hope you do. I didn't say He doesn't answer. I said He doesn't always answer as we expect Him to. Sometimes He says, wait and watch what I will do tomorrow instead of answering your prayer today. And we need to be very mindful of that. But He says, listen, not only can you have comfort in your suffering, you can have courage in your praying, because the Spirit's going to do your praying for you. And I promise I'll hear what the Spirit prays for. And I'll quickly close. Comfort in suffering, courage in praying, and completion in your believing. You are, He said, you are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus the Lord. And then He said, nothing can separate you from my love. Nobody can condemn you. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, the sword, and you're still mine. Nothing can separate you. If you die, you're mine. If you live, you're mine. If angels or demons come against you, your mind. If something in the present, the past, or the future were to occur, your mind. No power can change it. No height can arrange it. No depth can alter it. When all is said and done, nothing in this creation can steal from you my grace, my presence, and my power. For the love of God in Christ Jesus holds you totally and completely in His sovereign will, both now and forever. And God's people all said, amen. Amen. So you got to see it now. God has a purpose for every one of you. Therefore, God has a plan to bring His purpose to pass. But He doesn't expect us to sit here not knowing what's coming. So He said, let me give you some promises. Every time you suffer, just think about glory. Every time you pray, just remember, I hear because the Spirit is praying on your behalf. And every time somebody or something threatens you, you just look in their eyes and say, I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. And every time the devil says, but what about? You say, nor any other creature. That's exactly why Paul included that. Because somebody was going to mention something that's not on that list. And he said, so that list plus anything else the devil comes up with. You are secure in Christ Jesus the Lord. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? The simple answer is, just praise Him. Just praise Him. He's got a purpose. He's got a plan. And when you live in this book, you'll know what His promises are. When you don't know what to do, just praise Him. Let's stand together. And pastors, will you come on right now, come to the altar. You've never trusted Jesus. Right now is the time to do so. If you are a believer and you want to become a part of our church family, the pastors will share with you how that can happen. And right now, if you're struggling with something, if you've come into this room this morning and you're broken, something needs to get fixed, something is really wrong in your life, the altar's open for prayer and the pastors are here for counseling. God has a purpose. God has a plan. And He's made you a promise. Trust Him. Walk in obedience before Him. While we sing together, you come.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.